Day, or would rather be somebody somewhere else? Better than being in jail. Better than being a whole lot of places. Oh, it's warm. Ask Brother Cottle how warm it is.
Nice and warm.
Yeah, I have to vary.
All right, Brother Buddy, what you got?
Buddy Day.
Stand up, stand up for Jesus, we soldiers of the cross.
Asking the blessings on the service. Amen. You may be seated.
Oh,
like I run for 5 miles. It's time for our fellowship song. Everybody get a chance to shake hands with each other. One page.
Number 389, I Am Your Dog. Number 389.
This is for Sister Betty this morning. She changed my song for me. For for making the sun to shine, putting the stars in the sky, for flowers that bloom, the ocean so blue. Thank you, Lord, for the sparrow that sings, that makes sweet melody, for rivers that flow, the rain and the snow. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Just want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for my home and family, for life's joys that you've given me, for shoes on my feet, I've had plenty to eat. Thank you, Lord, and for my church where I worship and pray, and for the freedom that I have today. Sweet Spirit, I feel your presence so real. Thank you, Lord. For being a friend so dear, for giving my sad heart cheer, for holding my hand when I could not stand. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life for me on the cross of Calvary, for taking my place, for your mercy and grace. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Just want to thank you, Lord, for everything that you've done for me. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Just want to thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole and saving my soul. Thank you, Lord.
I guess out of all the songs that Teresa sings, that's about everybody's favorite, isn't it? Amen. There's nothing more we can do except praise the Lord and thank the Lord for what he's done for us. Are our ushers ready? No comment?
Come on, Joe. I can't play till you come, Joe.
Thank you.
You're not smiling right.
You're just not as cute as... Never will be. Ask your blessing.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for your blessings, Lord. Pray that you bless the offering and give unto the enemy heaven. Let me show you honor, Lord. Thanks be.
Been good Baptists. We'll listen to some preaching. That's where we ought to be good Baptists, is to listen to the preacher. Brother Cottle, just take your time with what the Lord leads you. God bless you.
Well, it's a blessing to be back with you, church, on this Lord's Day. And I thank God for you. We've enjoyed the service this morning. Appreciate the good Sunday school hour. Appreciate Brother Buddy and that good lesson this morning. If you missed it this morning, you missed a blessing. Amen. Praise God. Thank God for that hope that we have in the Lord. Amen. That lively hope, the blessed hope. I'm so glad that I serve a risen Lord. Amen. But the Lord's been good to us. And thank God for safe travels here lately. And got up to the north. And I got to visit several of our supporting churches up there, and it was a real blessing to get to see them again. Our sending church, I personally haven't been there probably in a good 4 years time, and so it was good to see them again and to be able to touch base with friends, and that was a great blessing. We went by a church on the Indian Reserve up there, and they were just real sweet to us, and just thank God for them, and they said they would take us on for support, and so yeah, just God just blessed the trip, and we thank God for safety and all that He did. And but it's good to be back down south here for a while, and we're just looking to God to guide us and lead us and help us. We got a meeting tonight over in Winston-Salem, and looking forward to being there with Meadowview Baptist Church, Pastor Hudgens. I don't know if any of you know him, but he's a great blessing. It'd be good to see him again. If you have your Bibles, turn to me to Isaiah chapter 40 this morning. Isaiah chapter 40. And some of the Lord just placed upon my heart a few days ago. I'd like to begin reading here in Isaiah chapter 40. What a great passage of Scripture. And we'll begin reading, though, in verse number 25 this morning. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 25. Notice what the Bible says. To whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Dear Father, Lord, we just thank you again for this day. Lord, like David said, I'm glad, God, to be here today. I was glad when they said, let's be in the house of God. And God, I'm glad to be here with your people today. God, I pray that you meet with us now, dear Father, and have your way in each and every heart as we open them to you, dear Father, and your precious will this morning. And I just pray, God, for anyone lost. I pray, God, today will be the day they would turn to you, dear Father. repent of their sin and believe in you with all their heart and be gloriously saved. Thank you again, God, for that blessed hope that we have in you. And God, just pray that you'll bless now, dear Father. Use me, God, I pray, to bring this message, God, your message, dear Father, to your people. And God, we shall thank you and praise you for all that you do in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to preach this morning on waiting upon the Lord and what it means to wait upon God. None of us like to wait, do we? I don't. When I'm driving down the road, I'm looking for the green lights, amen, not the red ones. I don't like those red lights, amen. I'm praying as I approach the intersection, Lord, let it stay green, amen. Let it stay green, because I don't like to wait. I'd like for them all to be green. It isn't a blessing when you're driving through the city and you just, I don't know, for some reason, you just hit them all green, you know, and several in a row. And you're like, man, that's great. This is awesome, you know. But then there's those red lights. And even spiritually, as God's people, there are red lights along the way, are there not, in our spiritual life, where sometimes God says, you need to wait. You need to wait on me. You need to trust me through this thing and just rely on me and trust me through it. And I'll show you in due time, and I'll give you leading and guidance, but you're going to have to wait on me. And we don't have maybe the answers we want right away. What a great passage this is, and how this, I believe, this morning, if you allow it to, it will encourage your heart. The first thing I see here, if we go back there to verse 25 and verse 26 that we just read, to whom will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and behold him. We need to behold the Lord first and foremost. When we think about this waiting on the Lord, the first thing is how God is strong, how we have such a great God that we serve. And we need not forget that. In the midst of a trial, in the midst of a waiting period, or a time when we want answers, but there seems to be no answer, or God's putting the brakes on in our life for some reason or another, remember what a great God you serve, all right? And don't forget that. Lift up your eyes on high. Keep your eyes on him. Thou would keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Our mind, our eyes by faith need to be stayed on him. Who's created these things, who bringeth out their hosts by number. He called them all by names. I believe it's talking about all of God's creation. And we know about how the God has named all the stars. And, you know, we don't know exactly how many there are. We just know there's a lot of them. I mean, a lot. And it's mind-boggling to think about it. And someone said one time, it's like if you took all of the grains of sand on every seashore in the whole world. That's about how many stars there are. Can you imagine? And yet God has named every single one with a name. He's an amazing God. And he's your God and he's my God. What a great God we serve. And he's not a God that would let us down or disappoint. I mean, he always wants our best. Always, always, always. And he's such a loving, sweet, wonderful God and a great God. And he's strong. It says there, by his greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Because you know, every day that we see the light and the sun comes up every morning, we know that he's still great. We know that he's faithful. And everything continues on, amen, from the foundations of the earth. I mean, God has laid it, and it continues on. And, I mean, we don't have to ever worry about going outside and there being enough oxygen. There's always enough. There's just enough oxygen, just enough nitrogen in the atmosphere. I mean, God, he keeps all these things just right. He keeps the planets and keeps everything going, everything spinning and gravity and so forth, all these things. I mean, think of how many things are going on in the universe all at the same time, and yet God, he keeps it all together. He's a great God, and he's our God, your God. We need not forget that. I was encouraged by reading over in Psalms. I love the Psalms. I have to say probably the Psalms is my favorite book of the Bible. In Psalm 91, where it says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He is the Almighty One. All might, all power is His. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because He hath set His love upon me. Therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him, and with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Oh, what wonderful words, amen? Do you kind of get from reading that God loves us? Amen, don't forget that. He loves you and wants the very best for you. And that leads me to my next point here back in Isaiah. In verse 27, remember we read, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God?" Remember, He also, not only is He strong, but He will not forsake us. He will not forsake His own. No matter what, no matter what you go through, no matter what you're facing in your life, He will never forsake His own. Amen? He is faithful. I'm reminded of what Brother David said over there in Psalms 37, about talking about the righteous. He says, "I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Depart from evil and do good and dwell forevermore, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off." Now, if we were lost still, yeah, we would have reason not to hope. But as God's people, there is no reason for us to doubt Him. I like that old choir song that says, "There's no need to doubt Him now. No need to doubt Him, ever. To doubt God is to sin, is it not? To doubt a wonderful, great, awesome God that we serve. When we see all around us in creation how faithful He is, will He not be faithful to us, God's people? Yes! Yes, He will. You know He will. "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord?" It is not hid. But yet we sometimes are tempted to think that way, are we not? Just as it says here in Isaiah 40, verse 27. "My way is hid from the Lord. My judgment is passed over from my God." But no. Never, never. Nothing goes with Him not noticing. Amen? He notices all things. And it's not like at any one point or time is our life insignificant to God, or He's not invested in us and He's not concerned about us. Yes, He does care. And He always will care. He's not like us. You know, He's not like us where sometimes we're moody, you know. Sometimes my wife is in a bad mood, you know. Sometimes I'm in a bad mood for whatever reason. I haven't had any chocolate lately, so I'm in a bad mood, you know, or whatever. God's not like that. He's never having a bad day. He never has a bad hair day. Amen? He always has a good day because He's perfect, because He's God. Amen? And so He's always concerned. He's always caring for us, loving us, looking for the best for us. Always. He's not like us. He's consistent. He's faithful. He's a great God, and He will not forsake His saints. Ever. Over in the next chapter of Isaiah, chapter 41, look at verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It's wrong, Christians. It's wrong, believers, for us to be discouraged. I believe it was Brother Buddy said this morning about how that Satan wants so much to see us defeated. He wants to see us discouraged. He wants to see us in that doubting castle, under the bondage of giant despair. Us giving up the freedom, the liberty, and the joy that we have in Christ. And being bound in chains that we bind ourselves in. And allowing Satan to bind us again. When we have power over the world, we have through Christ, we can overcome and have victory in our life. And there's no reason for us to be discouraged. By the way, we don't deserve anything, do we? So everything that I have, everything that God gives me is a blessing. And every breath I take is a gift from God. So why should I at any point of my life be discouraged, downtrodden? Maybe I'm thinking of myself more highly than I ought to think. Because who am I? Who am I to be saved? Who am I to be a child of God, to know that one day I will live with Him forever and I'm not going to hell? Who am I to deserve this mercy, this love from His hand? Oh, I must not think that way. I must not be discouraged, because He does care. Oh, isn't that a sweet hymn? Does Jesus care? And yes, He does. He does care. And one of the main reasons I know that Jesus cares is because He became one of us. He became a man. He was very God, He was very man all the same time. And He knows what we go through. He knows the struggles of life. And He knows what pain is like. He felt pain. I mean, He was there. He's been there. And yes, He cares. And He knows what you're going through. He knows what you're facing. And He will never forsake you. Never. And then number 3, notice verse 28. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? Notice that last phrase, there is no searching of His understanding. The reason why you can't figure out Him is why He's called God. You say, well, I can't figure this out. I can't figure out what God's doing in my life. I can't figure this out. You're not supposed to. That's why He's called God. Amen? It's His privilege for you not to figure Him out. Amen. You're not supposed to figure Him out. He's God. We're supposed to trust Him. He's so far above us. So far. And He has His own time for everything. And we must simply trust Him and to see it through and allow Him to work in His own time, in His own way. And His time does not have to match up to mine. It's okay. I just need to trust Him because He knows what's best. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse number 11 says these precious words. And I remember my wife when we were going together, we were courting, and she had showed me this verse and how special it was to her. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, He hath made everything beautiful in His time. God has His own time. And we need to make sure that our time is His time. The decisions we make, may they be based upon Him and what He desires and what He wants. and follow His leading. Be so sensitive to the Spirit of God in our life. In every decision we make, we need to make sure that we don't move without orders. We talk about being in the army of God. And of course, the Lord, He's over all, and so we look to Him for orders. May we not move without His consent, without His guidance, without His leading, and then want God to accept the decision that we've made. Well, God, I've made this decision. Now, God, I want you to bless it. I want you to... Wait a second. Aren't we supposed to get the orders from Him first? Decisions like who to marry. Do we just marry whoever we want and then hope that God will bless the relationship? Hope that maybe I can help that person with their spiritual walk or difficulties we face and all that. Wait a second. If we know that we marry the one that God wants us to marry, God is going to bless the marriage. He's going to be there for us. All right, but in every decision we make, we must make sure that it's okay with Him. Maybe we have as difficulties that we have or we face sometimes because we did not go to the Lord first. Some people get themselves in a real mess because they marry the wrong person. Do you realize that? Thinking they're going to pull that person up when that person ends up pulling them down. I know of a young lady right now, and she has a desire to be married, and she's a precious lady. She loves the Lord. She's going out with a guy that's not maybe spiritually where he needs to be, and I'm just afraid for her. Getting involved with this young man, and right now he's on his best behavior, and you know, doesn't seem like he's too serious about God, and I believe she's thinking that she's going to be able to help him. But I'm afraid that what's going to happen is, once they get married, he's going to pull her down. And he's not really even faithful to the house of God and ministry and getting involved. And you know, I just see down the road what's going to happen. And, oh, I hate to see that. And so it's so important that we make sure that every decision we make, that we always make sure it's right with God. Make sure that it's okay with Him and that it has His approval upon it. God does care, and He has His own time. Look with me in Isaiah 55, verse number 8. Isaiah 55, verse number 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Amen. And that's true. That's true for our life. That's true for our families. That's true for the church. As we look to God, let Him have His way in our life, because He is so far above us. And we need His guidance. We need His leading. And it must be done in His time. God has His own time for everything. And then I see also in verse number 29, look back there in Isaiah 40, verse 29, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases strength. Folks, I tell you, I need God's strength. I need His grace. Oh, I need His strength. I need His guidance, and I need His strength. He says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. And He gives strength to His people, and what a blessing that we can obtain that. The Bible says, come boldly before the throne of grace. What is grace? Unmerited favor? Yes. Oh, it's that and so much more. That's just scratching the surface. God's grace is available, His strength for His people, if they'll but ask and come to Him. He gives us that spiritual strength that we need so we can walk in the victory, so we can walk a victorious life with Him. I'm so glad for that strength. Amen. Without it, I'm nothing. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 12 and verse 9, the Apostle Paul says these words, my grace is sufficient for thee. This is the Lord speaking to him. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The world needs to see Christians walking in God's grace, in His power, not in their flesh, not in themselves, but in His power, in His grace, in His strength, relying on Him. Waiting upon God has to do with relying on the Lord. Not necessarily just sitting on the sidelines waiting for God to do something. I think maybe that's what we think of when we read these words many times. But it is a reliance on God during those times of seeing what He's going to do. We rely on Him. We gain strength through those times. It's through the difficult times that God makes us better. Thank God for those. Thank God for the trials that He puts us through. It does. It makes us spiritually stronger. How does steel get so strong? The steel that we use to make cars and trucks and trains and planes and different things. How does it get strong? It's put through the heat. It's heat tempered. And once it goes through the heat, then it can be used. And until we allow God to take us through the heat, how can He use us? We're too flimsy. We'll bend, right? We're weak. We're weak without Him. We're weak without His grace, without His strength. Oh, allow God to temper you. Allow God to help you to have a right attitude concerning trials and not resist the trial, but welcome the trial. Welcome it. Yes, let it come. Let it come, Lord Jesus. Let it come into my life. Let it make me. Let it help me. Not resist it. Amen. When you see a red light, thank God for it. Praise God. It goes against the grain, doesn't it? It goes against our grain. What do you mean, thank God for red lights? What do you mean? I want to see green lights. Green lights, Lord. Let me see green lights. God's red lights are always good, folks. Amen? You need to trust God. You need to trust Him. When God puts on the brakes and God says, you need to wait on me, and I'm bringing something up to pass and in your life, I'm doing something, we need to trust Him because He's a great God. He'll not forsake us. He does care. He just has to do it in His own time. And if we'll trust Him through the time, if we'll trust Him through the time of trial, and when God is working, He will strengthen us by His grace. He'll give us strength that we didn't know that we had. It's His strength. It comes from Him. And He'll give us joy, even in the trial. Amen. Is that not what our Lord had? Even when He was bearing that cross for us. Oh, I love these words. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so in the midst of the trial, God gives joy. Just as He experienced joy for us. I believe He saw us in His mind in the future, that foreknowledge, Brother Buddy, that we'd get saved and be His children, and be with Him forever, eternally in heaven. And God can give us the same as we walk with Him, as we trust Him. That strength, that joy. Remember, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Where's the joy? Where's the joy? We need to have God's joy. We need to be living in the joy. I hope you enjoy serving God. I hope you enjoy being a Christian. Because if you're not, something's wrong. Something's wrong. God wants you to enjoy it. He wants you to enjoy living for Him. I'm not saying there's not going to be battles and sufferings and trials. I know that. Just because you get saved doesn't mean all your troubles are over. In fact, your troubles are probably just beginning. Now you got the devil against you, the world's against you, your flesh is against you. But God's greater than all that. Amen? And what a hope we have in the Lord. One day, we're getting out of here. This isn't it for us. This isn't all there is. For so many people, it's like, this is all there is. This is all they have. Just down here, this life. Oh, how pitiful. How hopeless. But not us. Not us. Oh, no. This is just the beginning. This is just the beginning. We are going to be up there for a very, 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 very long time. Do you realize that? How long we're going to be with God? How long it will be. It will never end. Never. We should be living for that. With that in mind, as we travel in this life. By the way, we're only here for a little while. Let's make it count for Jesus. Amen? Let's not be discouraged. Amen? We serve a great God that will not forsake us. He's working things out in His own time. He will strengthen us if we'll trust Him. Let's trust Him. Amen? Oh, He's such a good God, isn't He? And then lastly, verse number 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, don't you want to be at that place? Come to that place of spiritual maturity in your life where you run and you're not weary. You walk and you're not faint. Amen. God wants to bring you to that place. And He will if you'll allow Him to. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We've got the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11 there. All those great saints of God have gone on before us. And how through faith they overcame and they won the victory and they lived a victorious life and they accomplished amazing things for God. Oh, that can never be me. Don't say that. God can do great things through you even today in 2013. God and His power has not diminished. Not a bit. Brother Julius, God's still just as great today, just as powerful and as He ever has been. God doesn't get old like we do. I feel myself. I can feel it coming on, you know. I just turned 40 last year. I can feel it. It's creeping on me. I'm getting old. I can feel it. You know? I keep wanting to, you know, stretch and I feel things getting kind of creaky and, you know, and I didn't feel that when I was young. I didn't feel that, you know? Kind of stiffness, you know? It's death. Death creeping on. Oh, but God's greater. Amen? Greater than all that. In spite of that, we can live a victorious life and do great things for God. Why? Because He doesn't change. He never gets old. And His power is still fresh and new. Look with me at Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 39. And these all, having obtained a good report. Don't you want to obtain a good report? A good report card one day when you stand before God. Will you be on the honor roll with Jesus? Oh, I want to be on the honor roll, don't you? I want Him to say, well done! Well done! These all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. What's He talking about there? Talking about the church, talking about the bride of Christ, amen? How we're all one together, the bride. And one day it'll be made complete. And God has a purpose for us, even here, even now. And how God wants to use us to be a great testimony. Just as God used Joshua and Rahab and Samson and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Abraham and Noah and Abel and Enoch and all these wonderful men and ladies of God here that we find here in this chapter, God would have us to be a great testimony of His grace, to leave a legacy behind for our kids, for our grandkids, for our great-grandkids, for the people of this community, for your family, your loved ones. A legacy of His grace, a great testimony of what God can do through a person who is totally surrendered and submitted to Him. And God can do great things, amen? And will do great things through us if we'll allow Him to. Look at Isaiah. Go back to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. This is a prophecy of when Christ came and what he would fulfill when he came on this earth. Look at Isaiah 61. It's actually the Lord, he read this in a synagogue when he preached his first message. Look at verse number 1, 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Oh, how we need the Spirit of God to fill us and help us. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. In like fashion, God would have us to fulfill these verses in our lives, to be that one that has the Spirit of God within them, filling them and strengthening them and anointing them, oh, to preach good tidings and to bind the brokenhearted. How many people around you are brokenhearted? How many people you work with are brokenhearted? How many people that you live around are brokenhearted? Sin's been hard on them. They live a life of sin and it's hard, it's hard. Their families are broken up and the kids are over here and the kids are over there. And oh, it's rough, it's hard. And they need someone to come and bind them up. And we have just what they need. They need Jesus. And to proclaim liberty to the captives. Opening of prison to them that are bound. And to proclaim, amen? Not just teach, but proclaim. To let her rip. Tell them there is a way. God's made a way for you. You can be saved. And the day of vengeance is coming. One day we will stand before God in judgment. All of us will, saved or lost. And how we need God's mercy. And how we can be a comfort to them. Amen? Because there is a way of salvation that God has made. God wants to make us a testimony of his grace. And he will do that if we'll trust him, if we'll wait upon him, if we'll rely upon him to renew our strength. And help us to mount up with wings as eagles. Folks, I'm telling you, when you get saved, God gives you wings. And he means for you to use them. If we allow Satan to defeat us, it's like a bird that never flies. It's like an eagle that never flies. What a shame. A majestic creature, one of the most majestic creatures, we had them up there in Dillingham. We'd see him once in a while flying. You could always tell which one was the eagle. Just the way they fly, just so majestic, gliding most of the time, rarely ever having to flap their wings. Little birds, they have to flap a lot, you know. Eagle, no, just glides along, just so majestic. But can you imagine a beautiful creature like that that never flies? If we allow Satan to defeat us through the trials and the waiting periods during our Christian life, it's like we're not flying. We're not doing what we're supposed to do with God. But we'll let him. He'll help us mount up with wings as eagles. And we'll run and not be weary. We'll walk and not faint. And we'll fulfill our purpose. And that is to fly above this world. Not to get so caught up down here in this life and pecking away at the world. And no. We're supposed to fly above this world. The cares and everything that pulls on us of this life. To the believer that's walking with God, that's relying on him, that's waiting upon God, those things don't weigh us down. We can fly above them. Why? Because we have the assurance in our hearts. And he gives us power over this world, over the law of gravity, I guess you could say, maybe the law of sin that wants to pull us down. No longer are we in bondage. We've a victory through Christ. Victory to rise up and fly for him. It's only then that God can use us to be a testimony. How can he use us as long as we're pecking away at the dirt on the ground in the world? Just kind of like one of them. Even as a Christian, you can backslide. Do you realize that? You're saved, but you've backslidden. And now you become again like one of them. You're not flying. You're not living by faith. Take some faith to fly. I'm sure those birds, when they first try it, it's like, whoa, I don't know. I don't know if I want to jump off that branch, Mama, or not. And she gives him a little push, right? That's what God does with us when we're just newly born, saved. Before long, amen, it becomes a way of life. And so it should be. It should be normal to live by faith and walk with God and to use those wings He's given us spiritually to rise above this world. It's just totally, it should be foreign for us not to use them. Amen? We shouldn't fit in down here. If we're fitting in, something's wrong. We should stick out. They should know that guy's a Christian. That lady's a Christian. They should know that. We should stick out. Not that we want to be weird or anything, but we need to show forth Christ in our life, and that's different. When you show real love, when someone's mean to you, and you love them back. You don't get nasty. You don't tell them off. But you show love instead. That's kind of strange. Amen? What is that? That's Christ's love. That's God's love coming through you. It's not normal. You're going to stick out. Amen? God would have it to be that way. So they would see real Christians. Real Christianity. That's what our world needs. That's what our kids need to see. Real Christianity. Not this fake going through emotions, form and ceremony and ritual. No. It means everything to us. He changed us. Made us His child. He wants us to walk with Him every day. Not just, I got my ticket punched and now I'm good. I'm good to go. No. That's where it starts. God's got so much more. And He wants you to be a testimony of His grace. As you allow Him to live through you. As you wait on Him. As you rely on Him for His strength. Not question Him. Not doubt Him. No. But just believe that He is. And He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And God always comes through. The man or woman that follows God always gets to the destination. The destination. God's will. God's perfect will for their life. I tell you folks, that's what I want more than anything. I want God's perfect will. Will you go with me? Amen? As we wait upon the Lord, as we look to Him. He's strong. He'll not forsake us. He does it in His own time. Let's just understand that. Oh, He's so far above us. Let's just trust Him. He will strengthen us and make us a great testimony of His grace. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. Thank You, God, for Your word. Thank You, Lord, that through Your grace, through Your power, we can overcome this world. We can rise up, mounted with wings as eagles, and be consistent believers, consistent Christians, God, making a great impact in this life for You. As we walk, Lord, through this life, not weary, not faint, but with strength, Your strength, dear Father, working through us. God, I pray today, Lord, if there's anyone here, God, that's lost, knows not what we're talking about. They don't understand these spiritual truths that we're making this morning. It makes no sense to them. God, I pray, Lord, they'll understand how much they need God. And without You, there's no hope. How they need Jesus to make Him their Lord and Savior. God, I pray for a Christian here today, dear Father, a believer, a child of God that is not walking with You. They're not using those wings of faith that You've given us, God. Not relying on You through the trial. God, I pray today, Lord, they would turn back to You, dear God, and find the strength and the grace that they need. And God, realize what great plans You have for every one of us, God. And Lord, we need to make every day count, Lord, for You, because we have very few left, Lord. God, may You work through us, I pray, this service. God, bless them, I pray, the invitation. And God, we shall thank You and praise You for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Number 388 in your hymn. Number 388, we all stand. Thank you.
We'll give Nancy time to pray, and just if you want to come, the altar's still open.